Do you ever have the problem of doing one thing, thinking one thing, and then doing another? You think, this is what I'm going to do. You resolve yourself to it, and then you do something completely different. So perhaps you determined in this year, 2021, you're going to start eating bread, no more white bread. You're going to go swimming at the pool, and you're going to be a better disciple of Jesus. That's what I'm going to do this year. All right, think it. Yep, decided it. Yep. All right, let's go. 7th of February. You're back onto Nutella on white bread. You went for 3 swims and that was it. Your swimmers haven't gotten wet since. And you fall into the same patterns of faith as last year. What went wrong? What happened? You might think the problem is a lack of willpower. You know, I'm just not gritting it out. It's a lack of resolve. It could be that. Or it could go deeper. Even more likely, it does go deeper. It's a lack of love. You see, you just don't love healthy bread. You really just don't love swimming down at the pool. And perhaps your love for Jesus has grown a little bit stagnant. You see, if you love something, you're going to reschedule your whole life around it. You're going to change your patterns. You're going to make it happen because that's where you want to go. If you love something, you're going to do things to make it happen. You're going to endure all sorts of things to get there. If you love someone, you're going to put up with all sorts of people and situations to be with them. And in our passage today, Jesus fleshes this out in regards to himself. And he says the way to grow in living for him is to love him. This point you might say, okay, great, how am I to grow in loving Jesus? How am I to do it when he isn't here, when he isn't in the room, when he isn't standing in front of me? Some may say that absence makes the heart grow stronger, or absence can kill a relationship too. How can we grow as a follower of Christ while he is away from us presently in heaven? Well, Jesus lays out to his disciples and us what we're to do and the help that he gives us in our passage from John chapter 14. He says that we need to love him, we need to obey him. And how will that happen? Well, Jesus is going to send the Spirit. He's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that today helps us to love Christ and to obey Christ. And the Spirit of God is God's constant presence with us until Christ returns. So that's where we're going. Let's see how Jesus fleshes it out. First off, the Holy Spirit is going to help you love Jesus. Jesus understands that deciding to follow his commands is the greatest expression of love for him. And he understands that for a person, our wills don't solely influence what we do. You see, there's this interplay between our wills and our choices, our desires, our attitudes, and all of these things flow into the actions that we live out. So you might think of Proverbs chapter 4, 23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. This is all guarding your heart for the mind or the will to filter out everything that your heart latches onto, everything that you desire. The call is to say, look, be careful for what you start to get into, what you want to go after. Even at the start, the germination of a longing or a desire, be mindful of what you let yourself love. Be mindful of what your heart is, because whatever that is, when fully fledged, that's going to reshape your whole life. So guard your heart, because when you and your heart and your wills and your desires go after something, you're going to reshape your whole life around it. So that's some of the wisdom of the Old Testament that God gave his people and he gives us. And in the New Testament, the fullness of the embodiment of the wisdom of God, of course, is the person of Christ who comes to us. God incarnate, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, look, above all else, guard and form your heart to be going after him, to be loving Christ. Above all, that's where our hearts need to be focused. Guard that love. Guard that, and you will live a God-honoring life now. So Jesus says, look, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So at this point, Jesus kind of just takes the assumption that the disciples do love him. He says, look, if you love me, and then he makes clear that the proper expression of the love that they have and he wants them to continue in is to obey him. But they and us are not left to our own devices. God will empower us in that. He says, look, another helper like me, another helper like Jesus will come in his place. And that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And the Holy Spirit helps us to stay close with Jesus. It helps us to stay intimate with Jesus, helps us to love Jesus. Now, often when lovers are apart from each other, they'll give one another a keepsake. So like a photo of one another, a locket or a ring. It's kind of something just to jog the memory to help sustain the connection and the love from a distance. Jesus gives us the Spirit. The Spirit isn't just a picture or an inanimate object, just a reminder. No, the Spirit is God dwelling in us. It is God actively working in us. Jesus says, this is what I will give you when I am gone. But he goes on, he says, look, not everyone has the Spirit. The people of the world who aren't disciples of Christ don't have the Spirit. Verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. But all Christians have the Spirit, know the Spirit. And verse 19, through the Spirit, even though Christ is absent, Jesus says, can see Jesus through the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, through the Spirit, Christians understand the words of Christ. They trust him by faith. Through the Spirit, Christians love Christ and are empowered in prayer, equipped to do ministry and good works by the Spirit. The list goes on. All these things happen through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your personal assistant from God in your life and journey with Jesus. So Jesus says, although I will be absent for a time, the Holy Spirit is with you and will equip you to do all these things. Now, there's something more remarkable that Christ goes on to say. He says, look, all of this happens from a remarkable indwelling of God in you. He says, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father and you're in me and I am in you. So from the first day that a person calls Christ Lord, that they have God's Spirit dwelling in them, it happens at the start. Only by the Spirit of God can someone say Jesus is Lord. And by that same Spirit, that person is adopted into the family of God. They are united by the Spirit with Christ and with God the Father. So that person, when they become a Christian, is brought into the triune family of love. And being brought into this family, connected with God, changes the person, changes us to be like God. What's God's defining characteristic? It's love. And when God dwells in us, we have the love of God in us too. And it changes us. Elsewhere in Romans 5:5, it's laid out clearly. It says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when someone is in Christ and they have the Spirit in them and they're connected to the Son and the Father, the love which God has is now ours when the Holy Spirit enters us and begins working in us. We have God's love as our love. And so that relationship between the Father, Son and the Spirit, those relationships of love, begins to reshape our sinful hearts when we become a Christian and as we go on. So we're moved to love God in the same way, and we're moved to begin to love others as God loves those around us. And it happens in increasing measure. It's such a remarkable thing. What other religions of the world promise that God is going to come and dwell in you and change you and help you to love people as he loves people? None. Yet Christ has come into the world to reveal God to us, and Christ says that his Spirit and the Spirit of the Father will come and live in us and change us and help us. So if you follow Christ, God is in you. God is in you, changing you to be more loving as he is loving. The Spirit helps you to love Jesus even while he's absent. That's just one part of it. So what are we to do with this? Well, I think to say, if you're feeling flat with Christ, if you say, look, I haven't succeeded with the multigrain bread, the swimming's not going so well, but I'm feeling a bit flat in my love with Christ, it's possibly just a good thing to be noticing that at all, because that realization comes through the Holy Spirit prompting you and showing you that. The Spirit is spurring you to re-engage with Christ and to develop and deepen your love for him. From that realization, pray that the Spirit would grow your love for Christ. Do you remember last week we finished off? Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever's in accordance with the will of Christ, pray about it, ask him, and he will do it. And now we come straight into this. He says, grow your love for me. I'll give you the Spirit. Well, if our love we feel like is not growing, ask. Ask God. And he, through the Spirit, will strengthen your love for Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit does this in all sorts of ways. So when we read the Bible, when we listen to a sermon, when we confess to God and we ask for forgiveness, the Spirit applies these truths of the gospel to us, to our minds and to our hearts. And we're encouraged to live for God and to live for others. Last week, just after the sermon, someone came up to me and said how much the words of John 14, verses 1 to 6, comforted them and strengthened them in the light of John Angus's death. So I'd just been hearing news about how he'd been going, and then we had these words that we read together and we considered, and this person was moved. And that is the work of the Spirit. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Spirit applies words like that to our hearts and to our minds, to love Christ and be confident and encouraged in him. So Jesus gives the Spirit as he's gone, so that we might love him more and more. Next, Jesus adds on to it that another significant ministry of the Spirit, and that's that the Spirit will teach you all that Jesus had said. So Jesus has been doing this teaching. They're in the upper room with the disciples. We've got another disciple going, hang on a minute, I'm not quite getting where you're going here. And this time it's Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, son of James. And he's there and he's scratching his head and he's wondering. He says, look, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourselves to us and not to the world? What's going on? Look, all these things that Jesus says are going to happen, you know, and the comment Jesus says, you know, on that day and this talk of the kingdom, why is it going to be revealed to us and not to the world? So he's thinking about on that day in the kingdom, and well, what's he got in mind? Well, on that day, he's thinking about the day of the Lord, the judgment day when all of the earth will stand before the Lord in judgment. That is not a secret event, and Judas knows that. And look, the bringing in of God's kingdom, revealing everything to the world, that will not be escaped. And at the very least, a revival in the Jewish kingdom, the national kingdom, that's going to be international news. So when Jesus says the kingdom's coming in and on that day you will see, but the world will not, he's thinking there's a jarring there. How will this work? Well, he's thinking that Jesus' kingship will all come in at once. He's thinking it's all going to happen at once. The thing is, though, is that the beginning of the kingdom of God is unseen by the world. The beginning of the kingdom of God happens in people's hearts. It happens in people's minds as one by one, 100 by 100, 1,000 by 1,000, 10,000 by 10,000, people come under God's rule here and now. People who love Jesus, people who live out his teaching. That is the growing of the kingdom. So Jesus' kingdom right now looks like this quiet multiplication around the world of transformed lives as the Holy Spirit moves in people so that they love Christ and obey him. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. So when he says, you know, what's going on? Jesus focuses very narrowly and he's saying, look, the place of someone loving Christ and obeying them, that's where the kingdom is happening. That's what's going on there. And for the kingdom, the person in the kingdom, the disciple of Christ, they will do both. There's no separation of loving Jesus and being obedient to him. You can't tear the two apart. It's impossible. So if someone claims to be a Christian, to truly love Christ, what do we know? Well, Jesus said that they have the Father and the Son dwelling in them by the Spirit. And from that, they're going to live a life that is in line with the Father and the Son and the Spirit, which will be out of line. It will be out of step with the world that does not know Jesus. So Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he or she will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. The words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So even within God, there is complete unity regarding the commands. The teaching of the Son, Jesus says, my teaching is the words of the Father. And we know that the Spirit is in full agreement because the Spirit's job is to apply these words, these commands, to the hearts and lives of every person in the kingdom of God. True love for Jesus expresses itself through living in obedience to Christ's teaching. So some Christians will try and, you know, tear bits out of the Bible and say, look, this is what I think love for Christ is, and, you know, just separate these things, sometimes a little bit and sometimes a lot and sometimes a long way. But Jesus will not let us do that. He's in complete agreement with the Father and the Spirit, and we need to be in sync. We need to be in step with that. And so when someone says, look, this is what happened back then, but the Spirit is revealing to the church of today, da-da-da-da-da, if it doesn't match up with what Christ said, it's going against what Jesus said would be the case here. Sometimes that argument does get made in the church, and you may have heard reports of this kind of thing happening, as if the Spirit somehow is out of step with Christ. But no, Christ is with the Father, and the Spirit applies what they have in agreement. And so what Jesus has said, that which has been recorded for us in the Bible, the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to us, applies it to our minds and our hearts and trains us in those truths that we might live it out. So verse 25, Jesus says, all this I've spoken while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. This is reapplication of what they've been taught. What a comfort that Jesus is with us. Though we can't see him, he's with us by the Spirit. He trains us, he works in us, he's helping us, even in his bodily absence in heaven. Now, it's such an encouragement that he provides a comforter for us, to feed us, to grow us. We are not orphaned from him. And so Jesus ties off the encouragement that he had from, you know, verse 1 in chapter 14, from the start of the chapter, he ties it off then with these words. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled at the start. Here he says, look, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now we, and they know why Jesus could say, do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I may be going. These things may happen, but this is what I'm going to do for you through the Spirit, and this is what the Spirit is going to do for you. Do not be afraid. The Spirit is working for Christ from heaven. If you think about the book of Acts, that's the testimony of the book of Acts. Christ working from heaven in the disciples and in the Christians through the power of the Spirit. Some of you might have heard of a minister called Frank Retief. He's a South African preacher. In 1993, his church in Cape Town, St. James Kenilworth, was attacked, having a service, and gunmen stormed in. They shot into the congregation. 11 people were killed and 58 were wounded. Now, they weren't attacked because they were Christians. There was other fighting going on around the place, and this was a part of that. And, you know, here's a group of people, and they came in. But in the church, many people, completely understandably, were traumatized with this. Many people in the surrounding schools and community needed help and counseling as well. Afterwards, the church was in shock. The church was in mourning. There's a great big media storm as well around this. But Frank, the minister, he says and speaks that there was a peace in the church. There was a steadfastness in the church. And he says, look, it's a peace that can only have come through Christ. Because outside the church, so many people were calling for retribution. They were calling for retaliation. But within the church, there's this big difference. Frank says, the members of St. James had their hopes pinned on Christ. And he says they had their hopes pinned on the one who died for them, the one who forgave them, and the one who was with them by the Spirit. He says, look, for over the years, you know, through the teaching of Christ, they've been changed by the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit had given them a peace in Christ that was not taken away when they passed through this turmoil within their church. That peace, the peace that the Christians in that church had and have, is available to everyone who does what they did. Everyone who trusts in Christ, everyone who is schooled in Christ by the Holy Spirit, coming back to the Word, trusting in the Word, praying for Christ through the Spirit to increase their love, to increase their obedience. People who love Jesus, take Him at His Word and live it out. That peace is available. It reminds me of God's earlier promise in Isaiah 43. God says this to the Israelites. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Jesus was with the disciples and he says, I'm going for a time, but I will be with you through the Spirit. I will help you to love me. I will help you to obey me. I will be present with you. I will send a comforter to strengthen you. My peace I leave with you. If you follow Christ, that is what you have. The Lord is not just with you, but the Lord is also in you by the Spirit, and the Spirit will help you to love and honor and obey God. He will give you the peace that only He can offer. And I'm going to finish by saying, what an encouragement, what a joy, what a comfort. Let's finish by praying. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have not left us alone, but you have given us a whole of our life. Father, we do pray by the Holy Spirit that you would help us to love and obey you and Christ by your power in us, by your person and presence in us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.